Paddy Power are giving money back as a free bet if your horse finishes second, third or fourth on one horse race every single day. Terms and conditions apply. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.
Welcome along to a classic Racing Post, weekend Racing Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington and I am absolutely, I could not be more excited for this weekend. We've got the Derby, we've got the Oaks, we've got Enabling the Eclipse, loads of other great racing, all on ITV4. And we also have three very informed tipsters to bring you, hopefully, all the wisdom and some winners. If you listened last week and you followed the Naps, Frank Hickey, David Jennings and Graham Rodway combined to bring up a hat trick. It was great to see some of the screenshots that you sent in with some really juicy returns. And what I really liked about that as well is that a lot of you won a decent few quid, a few hundred quid for very small stakes. Now, don't forget, what usually happens when tipsters are hot is they suddenly go cold. So don't go mad. Please do bet responsibly. But if you want the best advice on a brilliant weekend, you've come to the right place. Let's tell you what we've got lined up. In the first part of the show, we're going to look at the Derby and the Oaks run on the same card at Epsom in July. These are strange times, but it has thrown up some incredibly strong cards, and this is just brilliant. We've got all the rest of the Epsom ITV cards, the best bets elsewhere on Saturday, and then we've got the most mouth-watering Sunday, headed by the Eclipse at Sandown, but we've also got the Lancashire Oaks at Haydock. It's all on ITV. We're raring to go, so let's get stuck into the Derby. And first up, Frank Hickey, take us through Paddy Power's betting on the 2020 Investec Derby.
Yeah, we're paying four places, Bruce. So if you're looking for an each way bet, a bit of value there. But English King's currently favourite at 130. Pico 4-1. Mogul 9-2. Russian Emperor 11-2. Vatican City 10-1. Highland Chief 12-1. Pile Driver 16-1. Mohican Heights 18-1. And we're 25-1 bar.
Great stuff. Four places available at Paddy Power and also via the Racing Post app where you can bet direct with Paddy Power. Now then, I sense there's going to be a little bit of friction because I think we have a very big difference of opinion over the favourite English King. Before we look at the draw, which is all important, let's just look at the weather. My suspicion, looking at the forecast and looking at the rainfall we've had, is that it's going to be pretty much good ground. There's a few showers forecast overnight, but I don't think it's going to be super fast or super slow. But the draw is really important because when it comes to Epsom, the R number equals one. If you're drawn in one, it is why have they put me in stall one? And that is exactly where the favourite English King is running. David Jennings, do you fancy English King or can you not have him at all?
I can't have him whatsoever, Bruce. Podcast listeners will know last Saturday, our Liverpool group, we backed Caravan of Hope at a nice juicy price. Obviously that won. And I have literally spent the last 5 or 6 days pleading with everybody in the group not to have the winnings from Caravan of Hope on English King, because all the lads in the group fancy English King and I do not fancy him at all. When this horse touched 15 to 8 during the week, I thought it was probably the worst price I have seen of any horse in my lifetime. He is a very good horse, don't get me wrong, but he should not be favoured for the Derby. Like, when you just delve into the form, yes, the time at Lingfield was quite good, okay? But if you go back to his Newcastle maiden win, the horse he beat at Newcastle in that maiden scraped home next time at Wolverhampton when he was 1-5 and his rate at just 84. And when you scrutinise that Lingfield Derby trial, like, it was awful stuff altogether. Berkshire Rocco is a good horse, but Santiago hammered him just as easy as English King did. And to be honest, I thought the two of them had the run of the race at Ascot. The third at Lingfield in that Derby trial finished 17th of 17 next time in the King George Handicap. He was beaten 26 lengths. The fifth horse home in that Lingfield race finished 12th in that same handicap. The fourth was 5th of 6 in the King Edward Stakes at Royal Ascot. The seventh was beaten 29 lengths next time at Ascot. And the eighth was hammered in a four-runner handicap at Ripon. It was an absolutely awful race. This horse is trained by Ed Walker, who's a very good trainer in his own right, but he's never won the Derby. And he is against six runners from the absolute master trainer who knows exactly what to do to have his horses absolutely peaking for this Saturday, Derby Saturday. So I cannot have English King at all on my mind.
Now, before you tell us who you do fancy, I want to bring Frank in. Because, Frank, I think, basically, you agree with every word that DJ just said, don't you?
Mustn't like money. I just think it's very easy to knock it off the back of saying everything was beaten. Could you not just say that the race was so strongly run and they were all ran again so quickly that it was just too much for him? It was a really strongly run race, so much so that it was the fastest winning time in a Lingfield Derby trial since 1979. Now, you can't compare them exactly because different going every year, etc. But there's been years when the ground is firm and he still went quicker than them. The horse that came closest to him in Derby trials was, I think, 1998, if I'm right. Was it High Set was the horse? And it won the Derby afterwards. Now, going back to Newcastle was, on the bare numbers, the horses that he beat are all rated in the mid-80s, but he was held up off a sedate pace, and he went a second faster for the final three furlongs without getting a tap of the whip, beating horses in the mid-80s. It was a very impressive performance. He hasn't got a tap of the whip yet. Even Lingfield didn't get a tap of the whip. They went really hard, and he quickened at the end after going hard. He's a really good horse. And it's fair enough to say he won't win, but try to find something to beat him. The draw is inconvenient, but he does have the best jockey on board in Frankie. He's obviously by a Derby winner, I think, which is a positive. But when you go through the race, Kamiko is a very doubtful stayer. Mogul is a worse price than English King. His form is terrible. Even if you go back to last year when he won at Leopardstown, he beat Sinewan, who I know you could say won a Group 3 yesterday, but Sinewan beat a horse that was winning a Leopardstown handicap off 68 3 weeks ago. That form is no use. He was beaten fair and square up in Newcastle, and although he was fat at Ascot, it was a very disappointing effort. He's a massive mountain to climb. Russian Empire would respect Vatican City won stage. So then you're looking at the race, and if you're saying English Kingsley beat, it's going to be beat by one that you would consider a massive price. I just think he's a very classy horse. And the way he can travel and quicken at the end of the race is, he's top class for me. And I'd be very, very hopeful.
As you talk you round there, would you say, DJ?
The funny thing of all here, Bruce, is that I fancy Mogul.
So, yeah, we will come to that.
Worst price, him tomorrow from Austin Tanya, now, DJ.
Okay, well, look, I upset Paul Keeley, by the way, because when I saw in the weekend that he tipped Mogul, I said to him, blimey, you've tipped Slogul, because you know what Keels is like, don't you? And he loves to call horses slow, like Sam Slow and Just Slow and all that. And he didn't get back to me, which is a sign that he got the hump with me for criticising his tip. Sitting, waiting in the wings, definitely fired up, I'm sure, ready to have his say, is Graham Rodway. G-Rod, before we get your idea of the winner, where do you stand on English King?
I was going to say that he was the wrong price, but he is drifting a little bit now, isn't he? Do you reckon that he might get out to maybe 9-2 or 5-1 or something like that? Or is that getting a little bit optimistic with a draw? The problem with him, I mean, I thought he was very impressive when he won at Lingfield, and I thought Berkshire Rocco ran okay at Royal Ascot, enough to give him a little bit of a boost. But I just thought the price was absolutely awful. I thought around about 9-4 was a terrible, terrible price. And then, of course, to boot, he then goes and draws stall one, which is an absolute coffin box in the Derby. Not the place to be at all. We've got that little kink in the bend, especially in a big field like this. That just puts him under even more pressure. The problem is that you might well be sitting there and quite a few of us might well say, in fact, I think quite a few of us will say, quite a few of us tipsters in the paper today and tomorrow, I reckon you're going to see us all go, well, this English King's a terrible price. He's got to be taken on. And sometimes when that happens, the horse ends up taking a huge, huge walk in the market, goes out to 9-2 and 5-1 and then wins. And everyone goes, oh, what price that was, English King. Can't believe we got 5-1 about it. Best odds guaranteed. Fantastic. I've seen it happen before, but I just couldn't back him. Stall one, just putting the icing on the cake.
All right, then, G-Rod, thanks for that. It's great that DJ and Frank come out fighting, really fired up, making their cases, and then we go to you and you're talking like you're chatting to Reg next door about whether it might rain later. But it's great stuff. I'm loving it so far. Great start to the show. So we've got a difference of opinion here. We know that Frank loves English King. We'll get his idea of maybe some value dangers to the selection there. We're going to find out who G-Rod fancies in a minute. But first of all, DJ has let slip that his selection is Mogul. Now, I have to say, with my untrained eye, I just don't get this love for Mogul. I thought that it was a dreadful performance at Ascot. I mean, how is he going to turn that form around, DJ?
See, this is the thing, Bruce. I'm doing something that I shouldn't be doing here. Obviously, we're tipsters and we're on this podcast and we should be dissecting every single piece of form and saying this is the reason why such and such a horse should beat a different horse. That is what we should be doing. But I think this is one of these cases where you have to back the trainer. You have to do it, I think, with Mogul. Now, I've been dealing with Aidan O'Brien quite a lot in the last couple of weeks. Everybody's been intrigued to know, has he got a Derby horse? All these three-year-olds look so disappointing. Obviously, Santiago went and won the Irish Derby from Ascot. And for a long time, we thought these were all really poor three-year-olds, okay? But I think with Mogul, you just have to trust the master. He's won the race 7 times. He's trying to become the most successful trainer in the horse's history. And with Mogul, this has turned into a personal project for Aidan O'Brien. This is his personal project. To hear him say that this horse had to run in the toughest trial, which he thought was King Edward Royal Ascot, to give him any chance of winning the Derby, saying basically that he knew he would probably be beaten, but he had to run there to give him a chance of winning the Derby. To hear him say that he bounced out of Ascot with a big smile on his face, begging for more. This is stuff we have never heard from Aidan O'Brien before. I've been dealing with him for the last decade. I have never heard him talk using phrases like this and talking the way he's talking. The fact that he has convinced Ryan Moore to ride Mogul, who could have rode Russian Emperor and could have rode Vatican City, who obviously have far more compelling cases for winning the Derby than Mogul has. This is just one of these rare occasions where I'm throwing form out the window and I am trusting the greatest trainer that I have ever seen. And I think for this day and this day only, this is what Mogul is going to show. I think he's going to show us that he is the horse that Aidan O'Brien thinks he is. The form isn't there. The preparation isn't there. He might not stay. But for me, this is Aidan O'Brien. This is going to be another audacious act from Aidan O'Brien. And that's why I think Mogul will win the Derby, because of Aidan O'Brien.
Frank, is that the worst tip you've ever heard David Jennings give?
Not far off it, I'd say. Probably the time he told me Western Riders should be favoured for the Supreme. 20-1 was probably worse, to be fair.
Why can't you have Mogul?
As DJ's already alluded to, the form isn't there. Like, he's our biggest loser anti-post. He was a talking horse before he ever ran. We've inserted him into the Derby market prior to his debut at Goren at 50s. We had to cut him to 33 before he ran. He ran, got turned over by Geometrical, beaten 5.5 lengths. That's no criticism of him. Plenty of Aidan's really good horses get beaten first time out. They came from again, and he won his maiden at the Curragh impressively enough. But he went to Leopardstown and won that Group 2 in a very ordinary time. And the form isn't really that strong. I know Carman came out and won, beating Russian Emperor this year. But like, he's no excuse at Newcastle. I know he's not fit at Ascot. But like, if you're liking Mogul, if he was 10-1 or 12-1, maybe he's 9-2. Like, English King weren't under him a little bit at 130 because I'm so keen. But he's 4-1 out there. They're nearly getting to the same price. Jesus, if you're asking me.
But Frank, can you not understand though that Mogul is trained by Aidan O'Brien, who knows exactly what he needs to win a Derby. He knows to the very minute what he needs to win a Derby. And English King is trained by Ed Walker, who has never even come close to having a Derby horse.
That's a fact, yeah. But the other thing I'd ask you is, how many horses have won the Derby from stall 2?
I know none. That adds to the intrigue.
Everyone's making a big deal, right, about stall 1 for English King. Like, they've got probably the two best jockeys on them. If they're good enough, they would be able to overcome the draw. If they're not good enough, they won't be able to. My issue with Mogul is, as I said, his form isn't there. There's nothing at any of the times he did to suggest he's top class. And you're solely banking.
I agree with you.
He's the best trainer.
One of these occasions where you have to trust the greatest trainer we've ever seen.
If you're telling me 130 about a horse that's done something fairly, I won't say spectacular, but something very impressive on the clock.
It's not spectacular.
And visually, versus Mogul, who's done nothing. He's done nothing. He beat Sinewan. Like, Berkshire Rock has achieved as much, if not more, than Sinewan. Like, it's just not for me. Mogul, I'd be pretty certain that we'd best price him. We'd be happy to take your money.
Okay, so Frank, your main selection is English King. You certainly don't like Mogul. Who might the value outsiders be? I mean, it looks like this the sort of race where you might get one or two in the frame at a decent price, particularly with four places.
Yeah, I could see Highland Chief running okay. Now, the thing with Mogul is, I'm like, if you're looking at just the price, like Pile Driver beat him fair and square, but that's not even the one I'd like from the race. Mohican Heights, if you go back and watch the race, Andrea Atzeni tracked Mogul. He was out to beat Mogul, and he took his eyes off the rest of them, and he has beaten Mogul. And if you think as well that Simcock's horses were needing the run, they were in poor form, I could see him upholding the form in Mogul. I wouldn't be surprised to see him hit a place at a price. But yeah, like, I'll be honest with you, I'm putting my neck on the line here. I think English King is the best horse in this race by a way at this trip. I do think Vatican City and Kamiko are proper Group 1 horses, but are probably more suited to a mile and 10 furlongs. Like, I wouldn't be surprised to see Vatican City running well in Irish Champion Stakes in September. But yeah, I think I'm English King is just, I really am taken with him. And yeah, I think
it was. Okie dokie. Right, good stuff. G-Rod, let's bring you in. Who is going to win the derby?
Mohican Heights.
Frank, can you elaborate on that?
Frank just stole my thunder a little bit. I was going to make this great case for Mohican Heights about how Andrea Atzeni at Royal Ascot just decided he needed to beat Mogul. So he rode the race to beat Mogul. And of course, Mogul ran terribly and he did beat Mogul, but then he got caught napping behind Pile Driver. The horse actually stayed on really well to finish third. I think if Andrea Atzeni could have that ride back again, he would. And Mohican Heights just shaped like a horse who would really improve for the run that day. I don't see this argument for Moga. I mean, Jesus wept. This must be one of the worst tips I've ever heard from DJ. I mean, it's a terrible price, Mogul. How can Mogul be a shorter price, three or four times shorter price than Mohican Heights?
Despite
the fact that Mohican Heights was given an absolutely shocking ride that day and still beat him comfortably. And, of course, Pile Driver would probably beat Mogul and all. And the other one, Kamiko. The one thing we must say is that Kamiko will win this race if he stays, of course. Kamiko's far better than this lot if he stays. But I don't think he'll stay. I'm assuming you guys agree.
Sounds
I think only two horses can win the race. Mogul is one of them, and I think Kamiko is the other horse. I think he's quite relaxed. I think he possibly will stay, and I think he's got a great chance, and he should be favoured. Let's call a spade, he's the horse that should be favoured. I think, like, his dam is a half sister to King's Barons, who stayed a mile or two. I think he probably will just about get home.
He's got the two best pieces of form in this race by quite some way. Obviously, the win at Newcastle and the Guineas win. And I think he is a definite Group 1 horse. And I think that the rest of them have all got to prove that they're Group 1 horses for all they look like they might be. But at the prices, it's Mohican Heights for me.
Okay. I think we're ready to hit you with a 1-2-3. And if anyone's got anything else they desperately want to add. DJ, what's your 1-2-3 in the derby?
My 1-2-3 is one is Mogul. And just one thing I didn't mention with Mogul. I spoke to somebody who would have a good line into the stable about all these Ballydoyle 3-year-olds about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And he was absolutely adamant that Mogul was by far the best out of all of them. So that means he's a good bit better than Santiago. So that adds to his case a little bit, although it is hearsay and obviously on homework. My 1-2-3 is Mogul number one, Kamiko number two. And I'm going to throw one at a huge price in Mythical. Another from Ballydoyle, who was lame after his run at the Curragh the last time. Apparently his work has turned inside out since, and I think they think quite a bit of him, so he could go well. I think he's about 66-1, so I'll put him in third.
Okay, Frank.
English King, Russian Emperor, Mohican Heights.
And G-Rod.
I'm going to have Mohican Heights to beat Kamiko and Pile Driver.
I'm going to give you 1-2-3 as well. I'm going to go with the supposed non-stayers. My main fancy, Vatican City, who's shaped like a stayer, when really unlucky behind Siskin in Ireland. I'm going to go with Kamiko because I just think he's going to have to not stay spectacularly not to feature here. And I thought the bottom one, worthily for John Gosden, at a massive price, might just run into a place. It's a fascinating race. Can't wait for it. It takes place at 4:55. Before that, Then at 3:40, we've got the Investec Oaks. Let's see if there's a little bit more harmony among the lads when they look at that one. But first of all, Frank, give us the betting.
Yeah, Love is 6-5, Frankly Darling 15-8, Ennis Diamond 5-1, Goal One 14-1, Passion 22-1, and we're 25-1 bar.
And we've got 8 runners. Hopefully they'll all stand the ground, so we'll get each way betting. G-Rod, you can go first. Who do you like in the Oaks?
I do think it's a two-horse race between Love and Frankly Darling, and I think Love has got the best form. It was impressive when she won the 1,000 guineas, and that was obviously a Group One, but I'm not sure it was the strongest 1,000 guineas. The runner-up, Cloak of Spirits, was well beaten in the Coronation Stakes. And I was blown away by Frankly Darling when she won at Royal Ascot. John Gosden always seems to have held this horse in high regard. Was very impressive when she won at Newcastle on her previous start. I just love the way she went through that race at Royal Ascot. And she was very, very strong at the finish. I can just see her powering down that long straight at Epsom and having too much stamina for Love.
Okay, we've got a vote for Frankly Darling. Frank, where do your allegiances lie? Fascinating race, this, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very interesting. Like, Frankly Darling looked impressive at Ascot, but the time wasn't great. It was over second slower than Pile Driver. I think there's every chance Ennis Diamond might be able to reverse the form, actually. I thought, like, she came from further back. I think if they go hard here, she could reverse potentially. But it's very difficult to get away from Love. She should get the mile and a half, no problem. And, like, she was widely impressed. Albeit the 1,000 guineas doesn't seem to be working out. She did win by 4.25 lengths. She absolutely hacked up. She was very impressive. And yeah, like, if I was having a bet, I'd probably have something small each way and then a Steinman, because I struggle to see her beat three. But I just think Love would be too difficult to beat.
Okay. Where is Ennis Steinman, DJ?
Is it Clare, is it, Frank?
It is in Clare. I was just Googling. I thought it was, but it's in Clare, all right, yeah.
Okay, I knew it was an Irish town somewhere, but okay, we'll clear that up. DJ, more importantly, who wins the Oaks?
I actually fancy Frankly Darling, Bruce. I think this is a carbon copy of the 2017 Oaks, when it was Rhododendron against Enable, and Rhododendron was the horse coming in with the rock solid form, the really good guineas run. And she was unlucky in her guineas that year, and you know, she was a real short price favourite to beat a John Gosden second favourite, who was Enable. Now, obviously, I'm not saying that Frankly Darling is as talented as Enable, but Frank said the time was slow at Ascot, which it was. But the key thing there with Frankly Darling, and it's very seldom you see horses who take such a tug in the early part of a race and are so keen and are still able to quicken when they're asked. And Frankly Darling, I thought, quickened twice in that race. To me, he was vastly superior to Ennis Diamond that day. I loved her at Newcastle. I know they've loved her all along. I think, like, the guineas was an absolutely desperate race at Newmarket. Now, Love is going to improve for the trip, and she was kept out of trouble, kept wide, and you know, she was by far the best filly in that race. But I just saw something in Frankly Darling at Ascot that I really, really liked, and I think this is going to be another kind of Enable versus Rhododendron. I think Frankly Darling will beat Love. As regards what I think will finish third, I'd be pretty confident that Passion might be able to finish third. I think there's a freebie up front up for grabs here, and I can see Pádraig Beggy trying to do something similar to what he did on Sovereign and just letting Passion roll. It'll be the first time that she's been let roll all year. She's taken a couple of runs. Aidan described as a really round filly that needs plenty of racing. I think you'll see a much improved performance from her. She really stays, and she just needs racing. If there was betting without Love and Frankly Darling, which I'm sure Paddy Power will have, I'd be all over Passion to finish third.
Excellent. Thank you very much indeed, chaps. That's the classic action. Let's do the rest of Saturday next.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online, and we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, bgambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, David Jennings, Graham Rodway, and Paddy Power's Frank Hickey. We've done the Derby, we've done the Oaks. Let's do 1, 2, 3, 4 other races from Epsom on Saturday, all on ITV, starting with the Investec Woodcote Stakes. Over 6 furlongs, won, of course, last year by the brilliant Pinatubo. Let's see if there's something approaching that kind of class in this field. Only 5 runners. A bit disappointing, that, Frank. How do they bet?
Yeah, we're joint favourites, Modern News and Twasol at 2-1. Mutazawed is 7-2. Inhaler 13-2. And Calcutta Cup is 9-1.
And you can have first crack at this one, Frank.
Yeah, it's a very tricky race. I wouldn't be getting stuck in too heavy in this now. I thought it was interesting that Andrew Balding was letting Calcutta Cup have a go here on debut. He's got a decent bunch of two-year-olds. Well, it looks so far anyway. And he's had 4 from 12 with his two-year-olds, another 4 place. He had one nearly turn over Dark Line last night as well on debut. And I just thought it was slightly interesting they were giving him a go. Like, Modern News was disappointing in the Chesham. Inhaler was well beaten up in Newcastle, conceding a penalty to a nice Mark Johnson horse. Twasol was a big price on winning at Windsor. Yeah, I wouldn't be mad keen to have a bet, but I thought if there was a few bob knocking around for Calcutta Cup, you might follow it in.
And who might you be interested in? David Jennings.
This is my strongest fancy of the entire day, Bruce, would you believe? I'm very sweet on Muta Zawid. I think he's very, very good. I really do. Now, if you remember, Bruce, I'm sure you'll have memories of a horse called Mooker, who you bagged the Royal Ascot and
winning
the Windsor Castle for a long way. Now, Muta Zawid ran in the same maiden as Mooker at Newcastle and was very, very green during the course of that race. Really keen and just getting to know things. Now, ran last time, so it's ran twice in the all-weather. Ran last time at Lingfield in what was only a 4-runner race, but I think it was actually quite a strong race. The third horse, Saunton, is not a bad horse from Richard Hannans, and Elected, who finished second, ran in what I'd say will work out to be a really hot Yarmouth maiden the other day. Ran quite well. I suppose the fact that it started 6-4 and it only finished third, you'd say it was slightly disappointed. But I actually thought Elected ran quite well from the front. Was only beaten a length and a half by Imperial Yellow, who's a good horse from the Roger Varian stable. But this Muta Zawid, he's out of Muahar, obviously that classy sprinter from a few years ago. And I just thought that day at Lingfield, he showed plenty up the home straight. It was like he really quickened when the third horse came to him. And I thought he was looking around the place and had loads and loads of improvement to come. He's drawn in stall 3. If Jim Crowley can get the rail early, I don't think they'll see which way this horse goes. I'm only guessing, but I think this could be a really exceptional juvenile. So Muta's a wed for me.
Okay. DJ likes Muta with Zed. Frank thinks Calcutta Cup is worth a try. Get it? E-Rod, who do you fancy?
There's only 5 in it, and we're going to end up tipping 3 of them. Inhaler for me, for Carl Burke. Ben Curtis having a great time of things at the moment. This one was behind Tussarock last time out at Newcastle. Kept on strongly towards the finish. I can just see this horse getting a good position up near the front. Now, you really, around Epsom, over this sort of trip, 6 furlongs, you really want to be prominent. It's quite hard to make up ground from the back. And I think Inhaler might be able to get across from stall 5 and prove too strong down the outside.
Okay, well, that's interesting. Although the lads tip 3 of the 5, the headline from that is that none of them tip either of the joint favourites. Okay, let's move on to the 225. It's the Investec Surrey Stakes, a listed race over 7 furlongs. Frank, take it away with Paddy Power's latest betting.
Yeah, we're 6-5 Safe Voyage, 4-1 Science O'Bright, 5-1 Darek, 13-2, Oh, This Is Us in Vale of Kent, and 16-1, Jack's Point.
These small fields, the DJ, they just go to show, don't they? That if you want a free owner's badge for Derby Day, that's what you do. You enter your horse in some of these other races. So a disappointing race in terms of volume, but it's an interesting one. It's competitive, and who do you like?
Yeah, I thought this was very straightforward, Bruce. I thought Safe Voyage would win. Now, he's 7, but he's getting better. He actually is getting better, and his RPR suggests that. Everything about him suggests he's getting better. Like, that second to Space Blues at Haydock, that was a cracking run. Now, he does save his best for Haydock, but Space Blues has since followed up in a good race at Longchamp. And, you look through this race, Shine So Bright is only rated a pound below Safe Voyage, but I thought at Ascot, I know Keels tipped him at a big price in the Diamond Jubilee, but I thought Shine So Bright looked gone at the game, to be honest with you. I thought that was a desperate run. Safe Voyage, the ground has come right. There'll be enough cutting it from to do himself justice. He's 6-5 favourite, but I think he'll be a winning favourite.
You agree, Graham Rodway?
Yeah, one of the easiest races of the day. Safe Voyage should win this race. Different gravy.
Okay, lovely. And Frank?
He's the best form in the race. He could probably do with another shower or two. He's obviously very effective around Haydock and very effective with plenty of cut. He probably will win. Wouldn't be mad keen to have a bet. if I was, oh, this is us, Richard Hannon ran really well in the Diamond Stakes last year, beaten a length by Zaki. He was beaten only 3/4 of a length in 2017 in the same race. I think 2017. If they go very hard, which is potentially they might here with Science of Brian Vale of Kent and Jack's Point, it might just set it up for him. I wouldn't be surprised to see him turn over, say, Fides, but yeah, I wouldn't be very confident at the same time.
Okay, really competitive heat. Next up, the 3 o'clock is the Investec Handicap. It's over 1.2 miles. And Frank, how do Paddy Power bet on this one?
Yeah, we're paying 5 places here, Bruce, and we are 5-2 Desert Icon, 11-2 Caradoc, 13-2 Ironclad, 10-1 both You're Hired and Tin and Dali, 11-1 Certain Lad, 12-1 Johnny Drama, and 16-1.
Graham Rodway, have you got a strong view on this one?
I don't have a strong view, but I do think the market is all over the shop in this race. I mean, I cannot have Cloak of Spirits. I mean, that horse is going backwards on Racing Post ratings. It ran its best race last year when third in the Rockville. Yeah, finished second in the Guineas, but were absolutely hammered by Love. And then disappointed at Royal Ascot last time out. He's gone backwards £6 from his best race, her best Racing Post rating. And she's had loads of runs. She's completely exposed.
Graham, you're breaking new ground here. You're previewing the wrong race.
Oh, sorry. What race are we on?
We're actually doing the 3 o'clock, mate. But
I'm sorry. I didn't know we were doing that one.
Dan, I'll never do it again. This podcast is going if you don't leave that in.
Yeah. Oh, no. Okay. 3 o'clock.
Should we go with the 3 o'clock for now? It was fascinating to get a little sneak preview of your opinion. Could we have your views on the 3 o'clock? That's when the big hand is on the 12 and the little hand's on the 3.
Okay, yeah. So we're on the 3 o'clock at Epsom. Yeah, this looks a really tough race. It's a really competitive handicap. I couldn't choose between about 3 or 4 in it. Fold it under the impossible.
Okay. Never apply for a job as an air traffic controller. It's not for you. Frank, what do you fancy in the 3 o'clock at Epsom?
That was very good. I really like Caradoc as a horse. I think he's still really well handicapped. I'm not sure he'd want too much more rain. I know they pulled him out of Windsor saying unsuitable ground when it was good to firm. But he's done all his winning on good to firm ground. Like, if you go back to last year, he started off winning a handicap at Newmarket off a mark of 86, followed up at Windsor off 89, and was, I thought, very unlucky at York when he went off favourite, where he was probably too far back and stayed on really strongly over a mile and a half. They probably held him up, looking for him to get home, but he definitely stayed that day, was beaten half the length. He probably should have won. He made no mistake at Newbury in a competitive handicap on his next start. Disappointed on the all-weather and enlisted race when he went off 6-4 favourite, but I think 100 isn't beyond him at all, and I think he can go well. I just give a squeak to one at an absolute massive price, and that's Dolphin Vista for Jim Boyle. He only had one run since switching from Rafe Beckett, finished last at a massive price at Ascot, but he's dropped. The handicapper has given him a massive drop. He ran off 100 at Ascot. He's dropped him £5 for that. If you go back to last year, it was only August he won a listed race in France, and like he ran okay, beating 6 lengths by Fox Champion in a listed race at Newbury as well. He's just small but interesting at a price, considering he's down to that sort of mark. Look, he could be used gone at the game, but he's 40 or 50 to 1, and yeah, he might have a small few bob in him each way with the 5 places.
Thanks, Frank. David Jennings, who do you like in the Investec handicap?
I laughed at Graham there previewing the wrong race. Obviously, it can happen to us all, but it reminded me of one day I was in Tipperary working, and I won't name the parade ring MC, it was a former jockey, was the parade ring MC, and he was after making the presentation for a certain race. And he started previewing the next race, and he was going through the horses, and this horse has a chance, and this horse might lead, and this horse has a chance. He was previewing the race that he had just given the presentation to, which was very funny at the time. It just reminded me of Graham Rodway until somebody came over and told him he was previewing the wrong race. I'm going to chance one here at a big price, Bruce, in Johnny Drama for Sylvester D'Souza and Andrew Balding. Obviously, hoping he'll lead up to Kimiko in the Derby. But I think with this horse, he used to be with Gerard Lyons in Ireland, and he was a horse that I'd say was sold for an awful lot of money, and he initially looked hugely promising for Ger Lyons, and he looked like he could be kind of a middle distance star. But since he's joined Andrew Balding's, things just haven't gone well at all. Now, he was second to Forest Edina in a York handicap last August. But I think the key thing here is he ran at Ascot and he was actually nibbled at big prices in the, I think it was the Duke of Cambridge he ran in, the Duke of Cambridge. And he was ridden by Joshua Bryan that day. And I'd say Joshua was just told, you know, you have to be prominent. This horse stays, he needs to be prominent. That's the way you need to ride him. And he was drawn out in stall 20 and there was loads of pace on in the race. West Down Charmer wanted to make it. He was favoured for Mark Johnson. And it was one of these cases where I'd say maybe a more experienced rider might have just said to himself, do you know what, I'm just going to sit in, there's loads of pace here. But I'd say he was riding to instructions and he was up on the outside. He was keen, he was wide. So anything that could have went wrong did go wrong. There's going to be a bit of cut in the ground at Epsom, and I think that's going to suit Johnny Drama, because when he won at Goran Park, when he won his maiden, it was yielding to soft ground, and there was a bit of cut in it when he won a handicap at Roscommon as well. Like, he won a handicap in Roscommon by 7 lengths off a mark of 85. He's off 97 here. I think he could be better than that. He wears a tongue strap for the first time. He's a better draw in stall 8. I think Epsom will suit him, and Sylvester D'Souza takes over in the saddle. So I'm going to chance Johnny Drama, Bruce.
Okay, one more race at Epsom to look at on ITV. It's the 4:15. It's the Princess Elizabeth Stakes. It's a Group 3 over a mile and half a furlong. Not many runners, but interesting in terms of a betting perspective. Frank, give us a show of betting.
A Foorat is 7-4. Club of Spirits 2-1. Love and Thunder 13-2. Rose of Kildare and Summer Romance are 7-1. And Onassis is 14-1.
We better start with you, G-Rod. It's not really the sequence, but given that I rudely interrupted you when you were halfway through your preview, just to remind you that you were looking at the wrong race. So we'll go back to you to what you were saying. You think the market's all to cock here, don't you?
Yeah, I'm quite excited about this race. Yeah, I don't like the look of Cloak of Spirits at all. She's going backwards for me, so I'm taking Cloak of Spirits on. Florac could be absolutely anything. Bolted up by 7 lengths at Chelmsford last time. The horse she beat, Calatrava, was a bit disappointing, though, at Windsor, I think it was, on Monday. So that's fairly short, although I do think she's the most likely winner. There's a couple of others that are interesting. Love and Thunder, trained by John Gosden, and he runs in those colours that Without Parole used to run in before, I think, someone else got old. Was it Godolphin or whatever? I mean, that could be absolutely anything. And Summer Romance also could still be anything, having run quite well in the 1,000 guineas, albeit that race isn't working out. This, of course, though, is only a Group 3 race. So to sum up, I would say lay Cloak of Spirits.
I thought you said you're excited about it. That's the most vague summer I've ever. David Jennings.
Yeah, I don't particularly like this race from a betting point of view. I think Foorat could be quite good. Like, I know the form of that maiden at Chelmsford, where, God, she was mightily impressive, hasn't worked out that well. But I thought Magic Sky, who was sent off favour for a Windsor maiden last Sunday, possibly should have nearly won that day or finished very close. Jack Mitchell rode Magic Sky and just kind of was waiting for the inside to open and then switched to the outside. And then it was just a bit of a mess with Magic Sky. I'd say Magic Sky is not a bad horse. Like, Foorat looked very good that day. It's not a betting race, but I'd marginally prefer Foorat.
Okay. Frank, have you got a strong view?
Yeah. When you see a visually impressive performance like that, that they are the races to, you know, look at the clock and see, is the clock backing up what your eyes are telling you? And it does. She was very fast. It was a really fast time and a really fast section. And it's only a top-class horse can produce something like that. The question mark would be, her two runs have been in the all-weather. Will she be as effective on turf? But
we're talking Foorat here, by the way.
Foorat, yeah. Like she shows on breeding, should have no problem with turf. And to me, she's potentially the proper Group 1 horse in the race against the rest. I would be surprised if she goes off a lot shorter than 7-4.
Smashing. Thank you very much, chaps. That is Epsom done and dusted. Before we get the naps, is there anything running elsewhere on Saturday that you want to flag up to everyone? We've got a meeting at Bellew's Town. We've got Chelmsford. We've got Haydock. We've got Nace. And we've also got Yarmouth. G-Rod, anything from you? Don't give us your nap yet.
Just my nap.
No, are you just, you know, okay, fine. DJ.
I like one actually in the last at Epsom, a horse called Corazon Espinado, who has like absolutely spectacular form at Epsom, won the race last year. It just seems to be far better at Epsom than anywhere else. Running off a mark of 85, which is quite lenient given that he won the race last year. Only carries 8 stone 11. Andre at any rides. Now, strong and stall 12, so we'll have a bit of difficulty trying to get across because it likes to front run, but it's usually fairly smart away from the trap. So Corazon Espinado in the finale.
Anything from you, Frank?
Yeah, there was three in the same race as Deej just said. Hatea there for Jim Boyle. She was second, beating a short head in this race last year off a mark of 94, but she's got a lot better draw this time around. She's drawn a five. There's a massive advantage in being drawn low here over the 7 furlongs. Thought she shaped really nicely at Newmarket on Guineas weekend when she was fourth, beating a length and three quarters. She was up to listed level at Newbury, and she's not good enough for that, but I think she can go well. She's ran well at Epsom other times as well, bar that race last year. Over Nace, the Lappin Stakes, I was like, I know it was only a handicap at Ascot, but you couldn't but be blown away by Art Power. I thought he was very good. The right horses followed him home in second, and third. And it'll be interesting to see how he gets up on open grade, but he does look really very good. And I think he's worth following until he gets beaten. And over in the Yarmouth in the 7:25 a mile handicap, Rovaniemi for David Simcock. This horse was punted off the boards on debut at Linkfield last year and ended up coming second despite travelling really powerfully. But the horse that beat him, Johan, had experience and is a very good horse. Johan's now rated 96 after winning at Newbury there a couple of weeks ago off a mark of 88. He went to Linkfield on the all-weather then and got off the mark in easy enough style. He shaped well, I thought, in his reappearance at Kempton. Finished third, travelled well, kind of looked to blow up a little bit. David Simcock's horses have been needing the run and they were a little bit out of form. He's had a couple of winners in the last 2 weeks. I think this horse is ahead of its mark on 82. I really do.
What's he called again, Frank?
Rovaniemi, I think is the pronunciation. I'm not great.
All right, lovely stuff. Thank you very much indeed, chaps. Let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Three from three last week. Can we do it again? David Jennings, you go first.
Hopefully I'll be kicking us off with a winner, Bruce. In the first race at Epsom, the 150, Muta Wazid.
Graham Rodway.
Yeah, they're racing at my local track at Chelmsford tomorrow night. And I really fancy one at Chelmsford in the 7:10 called Filamondo. This horse ran at the track last time and definitely didn't stay a mile and 2 furlongs. Travelled really nicely through the race. Came to make a challenge inside the final furlong. And just didn't finish off the race, lost second near the line. And they're dropping him back to 7 furlongs here, Filamondo. So 3 furlongs drop in trip will really suit him. He's got a fantastic draw in stall 3. Angus Villiers is on board, claiming £5, probably the best £5 claimer around, or certainly one of them. And I know what they're going to do here. I think they're going to blast this Filamondo from the front from stall 3. He stays further than 7 furlongs, and I think he'd be very difficult to catch. That's Filamondo, 7:10 at Chelmsford.
And Frank.
I really want to say English King.
You'll regret it. Don't.
I do think Forat will win the Princess Elizabeth Stakes, but yeah, I'd be very keen on English King too. And
Come on, what's the nap? Stand your ground here, Frank. If you want to go for English King, don't it.
English King will win the Derby. And look, I'll get the absolute head chopped off me if he gets beaten because it's 1-4 or 1-4 shot now he gets beaten, but I really do think he's the best horse in the race. And yeah, I hope he wins so I can give you a bit of abuse, DJ.
Lovely stuff. I'm safe enough. Treble, 150 Epsom, Muta Jazzawad, 455 Epsom English King, 7:10 Chelmsford, Filamundo. Good luck, lads. Let's do Sunday next.
Paddy Power are now offering free streaming on all UK and Irish horse racing. No bet required. Just log in and watch.
Welcome back to the Racing Post weekend postcast, previewing a fantastic 2 days of action. We've done Saturday, let's do Sunday now. And the tension switches to Sandown and Haydock. 7 races on ITV, the feature of which is the 3:35 at Sandown. It's the Coral Eclipse. Now, of all the meetings that really, really do bring home how much we're missing going racing, I think this Sandown card is the one I absolutely adore going there. Enjoying a glass or two in the summer sunshine at Sandown. We're going to have to settle for armchair viewing this time, but what a treat we've got as the mighty Enable reappears. I think she's a shade of odds on, Frank, isn't she? What's the latest from Paddy Power?
Yeah, we're 10 to 11 Enable, 9 to 4 Gaeth, 4 to 1 Japan, 12 to 1 Magic Wand, 25 to 1 Regal Reality and Deirdre, and 66 Bangkok.
And Frank, sticking with you, how do you see this race unfolding?
Yeah, obviously Gaeth broke the course record at Newmarket, but there was a massive tailwind there that day. And he was up against Stradivarius and probably a not fully fit Anthony Van Dijk. I'd be keen enough to take him on here. It won't be as easy to make all. I imagine Magic Wand is in there to kind of disrupt him a little bit, try and set it up for Japan. And look, I know what John Gosden's saying about Enable's metabolism, but at the end of the day, she won in reappearance last year, beating Magical. She's the best horse in the race from what I can see. And if she's any way straight, she'll take the beating. It's not very original, but...
Yeah, I'm a kind of seasoned Gosden watcher. And while he will very often kind of point out concerns he has about horses, I tend not to be too worried about it, you know, because, you know, I think he's slightly, not of the pessimistic nature, but he just wants everyone. He's so brilliant at explaining, you know, where he is with these horses and what their chances are, that I think he just doesn't want to put anyone away. So I think sometimes he does err on the side of caution. So, I mean, you know, I'd expect to have Enable fairly forward for this. David Jennings, what's your view on the Eclipse?
Bruce, I think evens are 11 to 10, possibly even 10 to 11. I know they're at the bottom of the prices here with Enable. I think that's a great price. I think Enable will win. I think with Gosden, I think he overanalyzes things, like, and I think he's a real deep thinker, and he sees things, and he's so clever and so shrewd that he delves so deep into things, and sometimes, obviously, 99.9% of the time he's right. I just think with Enable, I think she's fine fresh, and I just go through her form, and everything about her form screams that she's one of the best horses we're ever going to see. And I don't think a mile two, like, she hasn't ran over a mile two that often. I think the Eclipse last year was the first time she'd run over a mile two since she was beaten by Shutter Speed at Newbury, which is hard to believe. But I think with Gaeth, I think Gaeth is this bully when horses are not, when first of all, he's a bully when he's against horses who are inferior to him. And secondly, he's a bully when horses are not fully tuned up. Now, you might say that Enable is not going to be fully tuned up, but she's six now, and she'll be fine, I think. There's plenty in there to make sure that she's not going to go six or seven lengths clear. And I think when Gaeth is taken on, I think he sulks a little bit like he did in the Ark last year. I think he's a bit of a sulker. I don't think he's a fully justified 126 rated horse. I think on his day, when his terms and conditions are right, he's a very, very good horse. But he's no Enable, and you're getting a great price about one of the best horses we've ever seen.
We have two votes for Enable. Graham Rodway, you going to make it a hat trick?
Yeah, Enable should win. This Gaeth is an awful price for me. I backed him last year in the Ark because I thought that he was a big price at 16 to 1. Bitterly disappointing run that day. Well behind Enable. He's come out and won a couple of... All right, I suppose you could say that it was a Group 1 last time, but I mean, it's not a proper Group 1, is it? There weren't no Enables in it, or there weren't no Magicals in it or anything like that. I don't think Japan is quick enough to beat Enable over this distance. The rest of them are not good enough. Deirdre might have had a chance if the ground was really fast, but it doesn't look like it will be really fast. Just going to be on the soft side of good at Sandown, and Enable should be too good for them.
Lovely stuff, chaps. Three votes for the mighty Enable. Frank, a very quick word on Japan. G-Rod just touched upon him there. I mean, that run last time wasn't great, was it? And I'm looking at fours and I'm thinking, it's on the skinny side. I mean, we know that Aiden can obviously improve horses from one run to the next, but where do you stand on Japan, Frank?
Yeah, I think he'll step forward massively. He was very weak in the market at Ascot. We were kind of, I think he was odds on maybe about lunchtime the day before, and we kind of went aggressively take him on, and the market came to us very quickly and he just kept going. And to me, that suggests he wasn't anywhere near fully fit. I expect to see him take a massive step forward, but yeah, it probably just not ideal from over 10. I think he's better over a mile and a half. I know he won the International at York, but I thought he was fortunate to win there. I think if Eller Cam had got a clear run, he'd have probably beaten him. And I think, yeah, he's probably more suited to when he steps back up to a mile and a half.
Okay, I love the rest of this Sandown card as well. 150, the Coral Charge, Group 3, over 5 furlongs. What a race this is. Frank, give us a show of betting.
Yeah, Lazuli is a 9-4 shot. Liberty Beach, 130. Alali, 11-2. Tis Marvelous, 7-1. Dakota Gold, 8-1. Tarbush, Made in India, 12-1. And we're 16-1 bar.
Some race this, DJ. Who wins it?
Ah, oh, it's a lovely card. Love the card. This is a lovely race as well. I think Lazuli is the most likely winner. There was just something a bit different last time over course and distance. You know, just you were just watching something and you said to yourself, she obviously he was out again quickly after being beaten by Smokey Bear at Newmarket. I think there was only it was 6 days afterwards or something. But just the way he quickened from that two pole, I was saying this is a sprinter seriously worth following. He's got loads of gears, drawn and stalled three, which is far enough away from the rail. You don't really want to be on the rail here. And just loads of gears, a real top-class sprinter. I think he'll win. I think Tarbush at a double-figure price, he's one of my many guilty pleasures. But just the way he travelled through the race last time at Doncaster, my God, he travelled all over El Astronaut, who's a really, really quick sprinter. And the fact that he was able to travel like that suggests that Sandown could really suit him. So I could see Tarbush running really well at double-figure price under Rushing Murphy. But I think Lazuli could be a sprinting star.
G-Rod, will you be getting pangs on Sunday afternoon wishing you or Aisha enjoying this fantastic day's racing?
I certainly will be. One of my favourite days of the year. This is the eclipse at Sandown, always one of the highlights.
Isn't this the day when you Neil Ardley and Paul Keighley went on a massive session afterwards and you got yourself into all sorts of bother, didn't you?
Yeah, don't remember too much about that one on the way home. And it was a long way from home as well. But yeah, to say that Neil Ardley and Keighley can get stuck into the drink is probably a bit of an understatement. And we certainly enjoyed that afternoon, no doubt about it. It was a great day, but I didn't end up in the greatest of states. That's to be certain. But this is quite an interesting race because this race has got a great record. The Scurry winners have got a great record in this race. Four of the last 10 winners have come out of that Scurry race, including Wadi, Batash, Curious last year. And that I was calling it Lazuli. I'm going to call it Lazuli. I don't know if that's right or not, but I was calling it Lazuli. That was absolutely bolted up in that race, and it won the Scurry by further than any of those three did. Curious, Batash and Wadi, and all three of those are top-class sprinters. I thought that he just had a little bit more improvement in him than Liberty Beach, who is, for me, the only danger in the race. Obviously, that was a cracking run last time from Liberty Beach when she finished third behind Batash in the King Stand. But I just think that Lazuli has got the ability to become a proper Group 1 sprinter himself.
Thank you. David Jennings tips Lazuli. Graham Rodway tips Lazuli. Frank, who are you going to go for?
It reminds me, like, then some people called it Little, and I knew a girl who used to call it Liddell. It was like a very posh pronunciation. That was like, you know, Lazuli is like common person's way of pronouncing it, while Grains is very like Lazuli is like something, you know, oh, I went to, I backed Lazuli on the way to getting on a yacht or something. Anyway, yeah, Lazuli was impressive the last day, but you've got to look at this in the way he got, like, he blasted out in front and was impressive the way he did it, but he's going to have Caspian Prince from just on his inside and Made in India from 8 trying to take him on. Now, whether he's effective, maybe taking a lead is the thing, and I just think Liberty Beach should be favourite. Like, if you look at her form, I thought she ran a cracker in the King Stand. For me, she shaped second best in the race just by trying to go after Batash. Is the reason she lost second. Her form is really solid. Like, she's 5 from 8. Her only defeats were that King Stand run. She didn't quite see out 6 furlongs at York in the Lowther. And she was 4th in the Queen Mary last year when drawn on the wrong side. I think she would have went close if she was drawn on the near side. And she has Sandown form. She won the Dragon States last year, like, extremely impressively by over 3 lengths. And I just think, looking at the prices, she's a big price considering... what is she, £1 off top weight, getting weight off them all? Yeah, I genuinely think she should be favourite, but we'll see.
Okay, Frank, we'll stick with you for a show of betting on the 225, which is the Coral Henry, the second stakes, a group three over 2 miles. Only 5 runners, but some real big names here and a fascinating contest.
Yeah, cross counters 15-8, Dashing Willoughby 5-2, Spanish Mission 11-4, Withhold 5-1, Summer Moon 9-1.
And before Frank tells us why Withhold will win, Graham Rodway, who are you going to go for?
Cross counter should be too good for these. I would have thought. I never thought that he was the strongest of stayers over 2.5 miles. He still finished third in the Gold Cup, although he was beaten 18 lengths by Stradivarius and 10 lengths by Naif Road. But that was 2.5 miles on really soft ground. I don't think he really stays that distance. And back to 2 miles is absolutely ideal for him. And he does handle a little bit of cut in the ground. And if he can reproduce anything like his best form, where he finished like 2 lengths behind Stradivarius in last year's Goodwood Cup, for example, that sort of form should be far too good for anything else in this.
Thank you, G-Rod. Over to the president of the Withhold Fan Club, Frank Hickey.
Yeah, he's just been a bit disappointing this season in his run at Newcastle, and even in Ascot. Yeah, it was only okay. Like, it's a very tricky race, I think. I was quite impressed with how Dashing Willoughby was able to win over 1.5 miles at Newmarket and, you know, good ground. I thought he'd get done for pace, but he just made all and didn't stop. Yeah, I he's only 4 and he's improving, and cross counter, he's definitely the class horse in the race, but I wouldn't be surprised if Dashing Willoughby improved past him.
Okay, so you're going Dashing Willoughby, yeah?
Yeah, not very confident though, Bruce, to be honest.
Okay, mate. And David Jennings.
Yeah, I'm going to go Dashing Willoughby as well, Bruce. I was all over cross counter without Stradivarius in the Gold Cup on each way. And, you know, he struggled into third and he was very laboured. Now, you could say it was the ground was to blame and the trip. Like, James Doyle was at pains to hold him up, and he's not a big stayer over 2.5 miles. But he was only beaten a length and 3/4 by Stradivarius on soft ground the year before. And he was beaten 18 lengths this time, so he's not progressing. And I just wonder, when you go back to that Melbourne Cup, did it really take it out of him? Like, he just seems like he's not progressing since. I kind of like him. I like the horse, and I know Tom Siegel is a big fan of the horse. I'd like him to come back and prove that he's still as good as he was, and maybe he will. And it's one of these cases where after the race, you might be saying, my God, cross counter, 5-2, 11-4, what a price he was. But I don't know. I think you have to take him on with the up-and-coming stare, which is Dashing Willoughby. I was, like Frank, I was quite impressed with what he did at Newmarket. I think he's only going to improve for the step up and trip. And there's a couple of lines of form there that really, like, do stand out. Like, even, you know, his run in the Racing Post Trophy at 2. I'd say he's just crying out for this sort of a trip. And yeah, I think he's the improver against cross counter. So Dashing Willoughby for me.
Okay, the 3 o'clock at Sandown is the Coral Challenge over 1 mile. Loads and loads of Royal Ascot form on display here. I'm really looking forward to this. I think this is a superb race. Looking forward to hearing what the lads have got to say. Frank, give us a show of betting and then you can go first with the tip.
Yeah, Monteith Ham is 130, Dark Vision 7-2, Mutasami 4-1, Acquitted 8-1. Then we have a number on 10-1, Kazar, Shalir 10-1, or 12-1 bar. Yeah, it's a tricky race. I do think Monteith Ham is probably the most likely winner. I thought he ran a cracker in the Hunt Cup from probably not a great draw in 5. He did kind of move over towards the stand side, but it may well have cost him the race, like it's reversing with Dark Vision. I nearly take a chance at one of the price here, and that's via serendipity for Stuart Williams. Now, the odds aren't really going overly well, but it's been ridden by Holly Doyle, who was absolutely in blistering form. I think she's a 4-timer last night. And this horse has some decent form at Sandown. Like last year in, I think it was this very race, was it? He was 6th, beating only just over 3 lengths off a mark of 97. And he gets to run off a mark of 88 here. The year before in this race as well, he was 3rd, being 2.75 lengths off a mark of 94. He only had the 1 race at Newmarket since lockdown. So he's only had 1 run since March. That might be even spot on for this. It's very appealing for a horse that has some decent course form. And I'd imagine he might even get a small bit bigger maybe this evening.
David Jennings, I bet you've studied this one long and hard.
I have, yeah. I like Mutasami. He's one of these horses that, if you remember the day that Racing returned at Newcastle on the 1st of June, he was the odds-on shot in the handicap that everybody was thought was a certainty and was putting into their multiples. And he finished 8th of 12 behind Little Joe. He was bitterly disappointing. But just at Kempton last time, in what I thought was a really competitive 13-runner handicap, there was loads of milers in form in this race, like, and I thought it was a really good race, and he absolutely obliterated them off a mark of 78. Now, he's gone up to 88 now, but even if you look at the prices he started throughout his career, even if you look at his breeding as well, like, everything suggests that he's going to be far better than he is at the moment. Now, this is a good race, and there's loads of horses in here that you can make valid cases for, like Frank just did. But I just think this Mutasami, I just wonder, is he a group horse? And at the moment, he's masquerading as a handicapper. And there could be a few of them in here, but I think he's definitely one of them. He's better than an 88 horse, so Mutasami for me.
J-Rod, this is really interesting, isn't it? Who have you come down on the side of?
Yeah, I like this race. I like one in this race, and it's the same as Frank. Via Serendipity, been at the track, obviously, last couple of years, and this horse has run in this race for the last 2 years and run very well in the race. Beaten three lengths in it, around about three lengths a couple of years ago, when he finished third off a mark of 94, and beaten a similar distance in the race last year when he was sixth behind Mojito. That was off a mark of 97. That was 97 and 94 he was running off on those occasions. He's running off 88 here, so he's £6 lower than when he was third 2 years ago. And he's £9 lower than when he was sixth here last year. He has won over course and distance. And this looks like it's been a plot for quite some time. As Frank says, Stuart William just giving him the one round at Newmarket at the start of the, just after the restart. I don't think he would have been anywhere near ready for that race. He would have had this race in mind, trying to put Via Serendipity spot on for it. Maybe, I think, third or fourth time lucky for the horse in this race, Via Serendipity.
Thank you very much, G-Rod. Right then, let's go across the Haydock. Three races there. And as a big Rafe Beckett fan, I'm expecting a bumper afternoon from King Rafe. Let's see if the lads fancy any of his. We'll start with the 205. It's the Bet 365 handicap. Over a mile and six on what should be pretty soft ground. Frank, what's the latest betting from Paddy Power?
Yeah, favourite Moon of 7-2, Subjectivist 5-1, along with Duke of Condicott. Jellystone 6-1, Harmonia 7-1, Punctuation 8-1, along with Cedar Cage, we're 10-1 bar.
I'll tell you what, DJ, I know the main action of Sunday is at Sandown, but this supporting card at Haydock's decent, isn't it? Who'd you like in the 205?
It is, yeah, and I'm going to be pretty boring because I kind of like the favourite. I thought Favourite Moon probably had something to offer off his mark. Like he's running off a mark of 8. He was beaten favourite last time at Doncaster behind Indigo Lake. But I just thought at Doncaster, it was a funny sort of a race at Doncaster. Obviously, there was only the five runners. And to me, it looked like he just looked slow. Like it was a mile and a half and he was the first under pressure. He really did rally. And he's stepping up, obviously, two furlongs and trip here. I think he just could be a big stayer in the make. And I think Haydock will suit him that long home straight. So a tentative vote for Favourite Moon for me, Bruce.
Graham Rodway?
I was at Kempton in February when Punctuation absolutely bolted up by 11 lengths. And I tell you, this horse has got such a long stride and he just pummeled him into the ground up the straight. I mean, he really was galloping on powerfully. I just thought to myself, Christ, that horse looks so good. He looks a real powerhouse. And then next time, then of course we had the pandemic and he couldn't run. And then he turned up at Newmarket over a mile and two furlongs, dropping back in trip, which I didn't think would suit him at all, on quick ground. He's got a real long stride and a big sort of knee action. And he definitely didn't handle the ground that day or the trip. He'd beaten 23 on length. I backed him last time at Royal Ascot over a mile and six. This trip on soft ground, which I think is his bag, the way that he goes through his race. He's in the Queen's Vase, though, and that was a group two. And he's ended up getting well and truly outclassed. But, I mean, that was behind the likes of Santiago, Berkshire Rocco was second. And another thing to say about that race was that he was mad keen in the race from the front. Sylvester D'Souza took him to the front. And they hit that downhill part where they go down towards Swinley Bottom. And he just absolutely took off with Sylvester. He was far, far too free to hold any chance. Now, if they can get a better hold on his head here, James Doyle make the running on soft ground in a much weaker race over mile and six furlongs, I can see him powering up this home straight, Punctuation.
Excellent. And Frank?
Yeah, I thought Subjectivist was very eye-catching at Ascot in the King George V Stakes. We finished third. You know, he was a big price in the market. He went off 22-1 that day. Some useful form last year. Was touched off at Haydock on debut by the useful Juan Elcano. Was second in the second start by Mystery Power here as well. And he was second to Mohican Heights at Salisbury listed race. He's probably not up to, you know, group three or group two company, but like off a handicap mark of 97, I thought the way he shaped at Ascot, the step up to this trip would really suit. And he's got the master of Haydock, Richard Kingscourt, riding him as well. I thought he had a fair chance now of winning.
Okay, let's move on to the 240, the Bet 365 Lancashire Oaks, a group two over a mile and a half. Only seven runners, and Rafe Beckett, King Rafe's gone mad. He's got three in it, including the market principles, Frank.
He does. Manuela de Vega's 11-8, Antonio de Vega 7-2, Cabaletta 5-1, Dame Malley at 7-1, Spirit of Appin 8-1 or 10-1 back.
Are you going to be doing the King Rafe tri-cast, G-Rod?
No, I don't think I will, although it wouldn't surprise me if one of those won. It's very difficult. You've got two horses with very similar names running in very similar colours. You think to yourself, you know, they've got very similar sort of chance as well, because they're not group one horses, but they're borderline group performers. You know, Manuela went and won a group three last time. I think Antonia's won group, well, has won listed races. And I don't know. I just get a bit confused by them, you know. I don't know what to make of either of them. So I thought maybe Hereby might be the one. That one ran a cracker in a listed race at Ascot last time in the Noel Merlis. That's always a good race. That was running quite a good time when Hereby beat Saffarine Car. I was all over Hereby to win one of the handicaps at Royal Ascot, but she never got in. So maybe let's go for that Rafe. That Rafe trains that one. Yeah. That one. Sorry, I just realised that Rafe trains that as well. Richard Kingscote's on that. Yep. Okay. Yep. That's by Look Here as well. Look Here, was one of King Rafe's greats, wasn't it?
It was.
Oh, God.
There you go. Right there, Frank. Follow that.
Oh, God. Yeah. Look, Manuela de Vega's one I liked last year. She didn't really do it, though. She was impressed with Haydock on her reappearance. I imagine Fanny Logan needed the race. Obviously, Frank is surrounded by bolting up in the Hardwick. It's difficult to know what way this will be run. You think she might buy out in front. I think Dame Elliott's one with ability, but it's her first start of the season. She might just need it. Look, again, it's not one you'd be overly confident with. Ray Beckett having three. Like, I know Rob Hornby's ridden Manuela de Vega the last twice, and Harry Bentley is the stable jockey, so I wouldn't read too much into the bookings. But yeah, Manuela de Vega just, but again, it couldn't be confident.
And DJ.
Yeah, this for you, Bruce, this must be like going for dinner with like Margot Robbie and Rachel McAdams. Is it two of your favourite horses in the same race? My God. I have to say, like, I'm laughing at Graham, but these are actually two horses that I get mixed up all the time. So I actually have a little bit of sympathy for Graham. Like, they nearly shouldn't be allowed in the same race because I always get them mixed up. They're very similar profiles, obviously same colour, same trainer. I think in this case, with the way the betting is, 11-8 Manuela, 7-2 Antonia. I think Antonia is probably the value because, now, she obviously won at Pontefract, but she looked like she blew up a couple of times in the home straight and it was just her pure ability that got home. I'd say she needed the run. Like you go back to last year at Newbury when she beat Star Terms by four lengths, she looked like she was the real deal that day, I thought. And I'd say with Manuela in the race, Manuela's 11-8 because she beat Fanny Logan. Fanny Logan came out and obviously won the group one at Ascot. But like John Gosden said in his interview after the race that they rode Fanny Logan just to enjoy herself, to pass horses, to settle. Like basically Manuela got a freebie up front and I'd say she was visually more impressive than she actually was. And obviously the form has worked out spectacularly well. I think Antonia at the prices is the value, but you are the founding member of the Rafe Beckett fan club. You adore these two horses. You probably backed them on all their starts so far. So whatever you go with, Bruce, I'm going to go with.
This is like when the contestant asks Jeremy Clarkson on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, you know, because it's their last resort. So they ask the clueless host. So that's what you're doing here. So here's what I think. I thought Manuela de Vega pinched the race last time. I certainly think Fanny Logan, it was either a bad ride or a ride where they didn't want to take the edge off her for bigger targets. You're right, Antonio only just scrambled home. I wouldn't put G-Rod off here by... I think probably at the prices, Antonia might just be the value. Okay, the 3.15 at Haydock is the Bet365 Old Newton Cup. This is going to take some solving. Frank can give us a show of betting, and then you can go first, Frank. Who's going to win this?
Yeah, it's very open, and we're paying five places here anyway to give you some chance. Laffy, 6-1 favourite. Ranch Hand, 7-1. Deja, Ladon de V, and Babo's Boy are 8-1. Scarlet Dragon, 12-1. Dal Horsgill, and Atlas and Spanish Archer 14-1, our 16-1 bar. It's a very competitive race, and I'd be willing to give Ranch Hand another go. He was very well supported at Ascot. The ground probably wasn't soft enough for him. And if you go back to Haydock last year, now a mile and a half would probably be the bare minimum for him, but he beat Trushan very well last year in a competitive handicap over mile six. He's only £5 higher here. He went off favourite with the Zarevich, didn't get home at all. I thought he ran okay at Ascot, and just with the ground easing, I think it'll really suit him. And I'd be disappointed if he couldn't hit the frame at least.
This is actually my strongest Rafe fancy of the day. Babo's Boy was really impressive on the course last time. The second who he beat quite comfortably, Harrovian followed up. So I really like Babo's Boy. David Jennings, who do you like?
I like Laffy, Bruce, for Sir Michael Stout. Was gelded over the winter and came back and absolutely bolted up at Newbury. My God, really won very easily off a mark of 89. It's gone up £9 to a mark of 98. But just the ease with which he won there. And there was clues last year that he could turn out to be a really good four-year-old. Like the day he won at Nottingham, when he justified favourite that day, I said he could be a star next season. And he certainly started off the right way this year. And the final piece of the jigsaw is Richard Kingscote, who obviously rides this track better than anybody ever in the history of racing. He's just different gravy here to anywhere else, and his stats back that up. And I think it's interesting that Sir Michael Stout has booked him. So Laffy for me.
And the final word has to go to Graham Rodway. Who do you like, Graham?
I fancy Ranch Hand quite strongly in this race for Andrew Balding. This one was quite impressive when winning at the track last year over a mile and six furlongs. And he had a horse called Trushan, well beaten in behind. A Trushan come out and won twice since and went on to finish fourth behind Dashing Willoughby after the restart in a listed race at Newmarket. That Trushan is quite a useful horse. I know one of the owners of that, and they rate that Trushan very highly. So the fact that Ranch Hand was able to slam Trushan quite cosily on soft ground at the track, that to me would be the key piece of form in this race. Now, Ranch Hand has had one run since the restart. That was at Royal Ascot, again over a mile and six. And he ran quite well, was beaten seven lengths behind Fujera Prince. But to be fair, everything was beaten a mile behind that Fujera Prince. He was absolutely thrown in that day. I don't think that was a poor run at all. The drop back to a mile and four furlongs shouldn't be a problem for Ranch Hand, and he likes soft ground.
Thank you, G-Rod. Excellent stuff. Let's get the Sunday naps before we go. We'll start with Frank Hickey. If you only have one bet on Sunday, what's it going to be?
Liberty Beach in the 150 Sandown.
Graham Rodway.
Yeah, it's Ranch Hand in the 3.15 at Haydock.
And David Jennings.
In the 3.50 at Haydock, not on ITV, but on RTV, I like Greenside for Henry Candy and Marco Gianni. Liked it at Royal Ascot. Thought it ran really well to finish seventh. Was just a shade keen, different league to these. Greenside, 3.50, Haydock.
Wonderful stuff. Thank you so much to Graham, to David and to Frank for your expertise. Good luck with your tips. Thank you very much for listening. Good luck with your bets. Don't forget to bet responsibly. And don't forget, if you enjoy these shows, make sure you rate, review and subscribe wherever you are listening. Maddie Player will be back on Monday to look back on this brilliant weekend and then look ahead to what we've got next week. And we are back next Friday when among the The goodies we'll be previewing will be the July Cup at Newmarket. I hope you can join us for that.
Paddy Power are giving money back as a free bet if your horse finishes second, third or fourth on one horse race every single day. Terms and conditions apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.